Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Great Britain, Sir Richard Boddy. And Sir Richard was actually a member of Parliament for, was it 40 years?
That's right.
40 years. And so he was there with, of course, Margaret Thatcher. He was there with John Majors. And, of course,
Winston Churchill.
That was a long... Winston Churchill, that was down back in the 50s, wasn't it?
I first was elected in 1955.
All right, fine. Well, then Winston...
And that was his last Parliament.
All right. Well, you've seen a lot of things happening. And Sir Richard is with us because... of the bond that binds Great Britain and the United States together, this idea of freedom, of course, America's concepts of freedom, were built upon the British parliamentary system. Of course, we think we advanced on that with a written constitution. That written constitution, of course, is driving the people who would establish an authoritarian society here bonkers. They have to get around this. They realize we have rules that make it difficult for them to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., whereas that's not so difficult to centralize all power there in London, is it?
Well, it's very bad in this country. Of course, we've got the European Union as well on our back.
You've got two strikes against you.
Well, 70% of our laws now come from Brussels, and that's a very high proportion, because those laws are not being made by our elected representatives, but they're being made effectively by officials.
And this is what the average American doesn't understand. Great Britain is just a little ahead of us. The whole plan of these wicked and evil people was to simply do an end run around our Constitution, so eventually our laws would be made by bureaucrats, international bureaucrats, rather than by elected representatives. And certainly in Great Britain today, the elected representatives aren't making most of the laws. They're being imposed upon them from without, and anybody who thinks there is not part of a plan, you can read Foreign Affairs magazine, published by the Council on Foreign Relations, April of 1974, where Richard Gardner, Rhodes Scholar, CFR ambassador, says, you know, we're going to have to do an end run around the Constitution. That's what it's really all about. And of course, it's going to happen here, unless the American people really value their freedom and understand you destroy our Constitution, you destroy our heritage of freedom. Well, certainly, are the British people aware of what's happening, Sir Richard? Are they concerned? Are you going to be able to stop?
I think they feel powerless, but then I think the same in America. Now, I don't want to be critical of the United States, because I'm very fond of America, and I've been to America many times, and I don't feel a foreigner when I'm over there. But I think quite a few things seem to be going wrong in the United States at the moment.
I do, too.
And one of them is that I don't think ordinary American citizens can feel that they have any say, really, in how they're being governed now. And that really is the essence of democracy. Whatever Abraham Lincoln may have said at Gettysburg, I think unless people have this feeling that they have some say in how they're governed, then it's not really a democracy. And I don't think a vote every 4 years is enough.
Well, of course it isn't. And of course we vote for the politicians. They say they'll do one thing, and they don't abide by the laws. They ignore them, whether it be the immigration laws, taking us into a war, you know, without the consent of the people, without the consent of the government. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon, Sir Richard Baldy. Sir Richard was a member of the British Parliament over a period of 40 years. He was actually in the British Parliament the last year Winston Churchill was there. Of course, he saw the successive administrations. He was there with Margaret Thatcher. He was there, of course, with John Majors. And he wasn't very, very popular because he didn't want to go along with the Maastricht Treaty. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Maastricht and of course, certainly Margaret Thatcher did not want to go along with the internationalists. John Majors, of course, was there to go along with them, and you were a member of his party, so what happened?
Well, the European Union used to be called the European Economic Community, and it changed its name as the result of the Maastricht Treaty to the European Union. And the objective was to make something out of Europe similar to the United States of America. Well, of course, it was rather ridiculous because the United States of America has until recently anyway, one culture, one nation. And Europe, after all, consists of some 46 nations, only 25 are in the European Union. And we have very different interests and different cultures and different beliefs, and it's a very uneasy ship, and I think that some of the political elite are beginning to realize it. But of course, they have this thirst for power, just as they have in Washington, and that, I'm afraid, rather overrides their good judgment.
Well, maybe they have a different agenda. Of course, here in the United States, the Democrat and the Republican administrations refuse to enforce our immigration laws. Why? Because they want to do away with the American culture. They want us to become a multicultural, multilingual society. They know exactly what they're doing, and that's what they've done in certainly throughout. In fact, they're even doing that in England today, encouraging immigration with people who have a whole different worldview. And, of course, you will do everything at some time to create chaos. And then, of course, you're going to have to take away the freedom from the British people to maintain their freedom.
But the strength of America rests with the fact that that America's had one culture, that if you emigrated to America until recently, you had to become an American. You had to forget your culture.
And you had to
German or Sweden or England or wherever you came from.
And
become an American, you had to recognize the stars and stripes, you had to recognize
Uncle
Sam.
Hold that thought,
right? English.
Well, Sir Richard was just saying that here in America we had a common culture, and people who came from other countries came here, and they began to adopt our culture, and they began to adopt our language. But see, that is not the objective. The objective is to destroy the common language, to destroy the common culture, so you can play one group against the other. So pick the story up, Sir Richard.
And it will destroy America.
I share your concern. I think every American should be concerned. Most people know something's wrong, but they just don't see what it really is, what's really going on today. Well, now, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Great Britain. You know, we hear about
We've got a very similar problem to you, just as you have a rising population of Hispanics who don't want to speak English or accept the American culture. We have a very large number of immigrants. They're coming from parts of Europe now, but they're also from Asia and from Africa. And they come here, and they're creating ghettos. They're creating their own communities. And we have the multicultural lobby who are arguing that Britain should be a community of communities. Well, that, of course, is a contradiction in terms. And it simply won't work.
No,
there's something of a backlash beginning now in England because partly because of 9/11, what we've witnessed in the United States. We've had a smaller version of it in London, and we have over here a number of militant Muslims who are undoubtedly hostile to the values of our country, and we're beginning to realize that multiculturalism is not going to work over here.
But of course the elite will do everything they can to perpetuate this. They don't want a solution, they want a problem.
Well, exactly, and I think also one of the problems we have, and you have it over with you, is the so much of the media is under the control of a what one might call a liberal establishment or liberal elite, and these I think have far too much influence over the politicians. They have a control over the media. And I think it exists in America just as it does over here.
Well, we
call them the chatterati, the chattering classes. They earn a living by chattering all this nonsense on television and elsewhere.
But of course, it's the people who really own the media who determine what these chatterers say. And certainly in either the United States or Great Britain, if the people who own the media didn't want it, why, it wouldn't be going out. So, you know, so there seems to be a definite effort to destroy the heritage of both of our countries, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Now, we understand that you have, at least there in London, you have videos on every corner. They're taking pictures of people all the time and monitoring their every action.
Well, I think this is part of the anti-terrorist laws that are coming into this country. We had an example yesterday of an old man of 82 was heckling the foreign secretary, and he called the foreign secretary a liar. Well, that always used to go on in English politics. And if you're in politics, you accept that. But this old man of 82 was arrested by the police, arrested under the anti-terrorist law.
In other words,
the 82-year-old, he wasn't a Muslim fundamentalist. He was an ordinary Englishman.
but of course, the terrorist laws are so broad, even here in the United States. It has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. It has anybody who opposes the government is automatically a terrorist. But even by our own Patriot Law, most Americans have never read the Patriot Law.
Yeah. Well, freedom is being thrown out of the window.
And of course, how are we going to reach the people and begin to turn it around? I know there are groups over there in Great Britain.
I understand you're doing a great job, and I think we've got to do far more over here. I'm a publisher. We've got out a number of interesting books on this, but we're getting them into the bookshops. We've got a very interesting book, which I will mention, because it's about America 200 years ago by William Cobbett, who was an Englishman, and he started a newspaper in Philadelphia which had the largest circulation in America. Not very large in those days, but it was the largest. He was describing America and wrote about America very affectionately, and said it was the happiest country in the world. And this was a country of great freedom, of democracy, where people felt they were running their own lives, and a country which was going to become prosperous, and a good country in every way. And he called it this happy country. And I'm sure that was the case 200 years ago. And when I visit America now, I just wonder how many people in America can say this happy country. It's still a great country, of course it is. But I don't think the people are as happy in the same sense as they were 200 years ago. Of course, living standards were different, but I'm not talking about the material things. I'm talking about the sense of liberty and democracy and the great faith in the future that the American people had all those years ago.
Well, I think, of course, that America was really sort of a fulfillment of this idea that the man's desire to be free, because the basic precept of America. When it was founded in Philadelphia back in 1787, was we were going to limit the power of the government over our lives, because people realized it was always the king or the emperor or the chief or the feudal lord or whatever it was, call it what you will, the pharaoh, who took away people's freedom. So you had to limit the power of the state, and when you could limit the power of the state, people could be free. But, of course, there have always been those who want to rule, who don't believe that the average person should be free, as David Rockefeller told a friend of mine, a congressman, Dannemeyer, some men are born to rule, but most men are born to be ruled. And there is an elite who has a different worldview, and I'm sure it's not only true here in America with the influence of the Rockefellers and his cronies, but you have similar people over in England who would rule the people, wouldn't they?
Well, yes, but... I was just reading the other day what David Rockefeller had said about China. It's he who started opening up the trade with China, he's reported as saying that trade with China will discipline the American people and will have to make them work harder and longer hours for lower wages.
Well, of course, but that's always been the plan, was to impoverish the American people, to transfer our wealth overseas. And you have to understand, I'm sure you probably have read David Rockefeller's memoirs, his two daughters are dedicated Marxists and supporters of that great humanitarian Fidel Castro. I mean, he admits his daughters are dedicated Marxists, supporters of Fidel Castro, which makes you understand that Fidel Castro isn't a communist at all. He's an elitist, just like David Rockefeller. And, of course, this is really what communism is all about. Communism in China, they have an elite class, then everybody else is subjugated. And now we are transferring America's factories, America's jobs, America's wealth to China, and we're giving them the money. It doesn't really make sense, does it?
Yes, I agree. And the same really is happening over here. The only difference is that we're not trying to run the world as we used to until 50 years ago. But the British Empire beggared this country, and I fear that the role America is now playing in the world is going to beggar the United States.
And I believe you're absolutely right.
And I think this is very sad.
Well, of course,
it's not going to do America any good in the long term either. A friend of mine was in South America recently. I think he was in Peru. And a Peruvian said to him, this friend of mine, "Are you an American?" And my friend said, "No." He said, "I'm an Englishman." "Oh," said the Peruvian, that's all right then. We used to hate the English. Now we hate the Americans.
And I
think this is what happens, that if you try to run the world, as we did and as America is doing now, you get resented, and that doesn't help your influence in the world, really, not in the long term. And I would like America, if I may say this, I'd like America to be a bit more isolationist, to put her own house in order, and to be a beacon of liberty and democracy, to demonstrate to the world that it works well and it is the right form of society.
Well, I agree with you.
And I think if she did that, she'd have more influence in the world than she has. She wouldn't have the power, but I think influence is more important than power.
Well, I certainly agree with you totally. And I think that most Americans do not want our elite ruling the world, but they have a different agenda, and they're using America's military and financial power to subjugate nations throughout the world. But, you know, if you study the fall of Great Britain, it was the First World War and certainly the Second World War that ended up bankrupting Great Britain and forcing the transfer of leadership from Great Britain to the United States. And now I feel that the coming war that we're going to be in, the Third World War, which is going to come in the Middle East as we begin attacking Iran and Syria and all the other countries over there, is eventually going to bankrupt this country. And then, of course, who will run the world?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we're in the same position. You see, we're having to face, as you are, competition from China, India, and Indonesia, these countries which, well, wages are about one-tenth of what they are in your country or ours, and they're pretty intelligent. I might be unpopular with some people by quoting Professor Jensen's report, but I think it was a very interesting one, in which he showed the IQs of the Chinese are the highest in the world.
Well, hold that thought. I certainly agree with you.
I think about 115, where a European American is about 100, and a black is 85.
Well, hold that thought, would be right.
Pretty well. They come out about 113, but...
hold that thought right there. Hold that thought. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics. An untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Sir Richard Bodie, who is 40 years in the British Parliament, served there under with when Winston Churchill was president, was prime minister, and then, of course, all the way up through John Major. So Apparently, though, he was with a group that had a very, very unbecoming name. They called you names because you didn't want to go along with the betrayal of Great Britain and the loss of national sovereignty. What did they call your group?
They called us the bastards.
The bastards. And, of course, this is typical of the liberals, you know, and you just call names to people that you don't like, who don't want to go along with the betrayal of the British heritage, because that's really what it was about, wasn't it?
Well, yes. I think he was a rather a weak character, and he got pushed around by other people. He was a failure as Prime Minister, really. And he brought the Conservative Party down to a very low level. We had a very humiliating defeat in 1997, and the Conservative Party hasn't recovered from it since.
But of course, I mean, look at Tony Blair. The thing is that you really didn't have a choice. It was sort of a choice between being shot and being hung, and you know, either the Conservative Party or the Liberals, which is basically Tony Blair is a Fabian socialist. He always has been. I know because I get their publications that Tony Blair is one of their people. So here's a man part of a secret little society there, you know. And of course, I don't know how does the average Englishman really know what the Fabians are, what their goals are, and objectives?
Well, I think the Fabians have always believed that socialism will come eventually, that you get there, as Fabius, the Roman, said, well, you'll get there slowly. And that's their objective, and they inch their way along, and they have indeed made great changes in this country, changes for the worse, of course. But they believe in lots of laws and a lot of taxation. But I think we forget when governments increase their powers that governments can do nothing unless they take away our freedom. They're powerless unless they take away our freedom. And there are two ways that they do it, one by legislation and one by taxation, the other by taxation. And unless governments pass laws or tax, they have no power. And both legislation and taxation are powers of coercion. If we disobey the laws or don't pay our taxes, we get into big trouble. We can end up in jail. And therefore, in a democracy, a true democracy, we do not lose our freedom unless we have all agreed to it, or a large majority of us have agreed to that legislation or taxation. But I'm afraid in both America and in England, that's no longer the case. Laws are being passed and taxes are being imposed without our approval, either our direct approval or, as more usually, the approval of our elected representatives.
And, of course, certainly under the parliamentary system, don't they put tremendous pressure from above on the members of parliament to go along with what the elite want rather than what the people want?
Well, this is a very big change that I've seen in politics over here since the 1950s. In those days, we only had about 40 members of government in Parliament. Now we have over 100. And politicians now are all full-time professionals. And, of course, if you have given up being a lawyer or a teacher or whatever it is, become a member of Parliament, it's very difficult to go back again. And so you want to hold on to your constituency and remain in Parliament. And to do that, you go along with the party machine, you go along with the leadership. And this, I think, has nullified, weakened Parliament very seriously. Luckily, in the United States, you have a division of powers, and the executive is separate from the legislature.
Unfortunately.
Even so, it seems to me that they're getting far too close together, and the legislature should be in a position to tell the executive what it wants. The executive should, after all, be carrying out what congressmen want.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Sir Richard Bolte, who spent 40 years in English Parliament. And as with so many people over Great Britain, they see their freedom being taken away as the autonomy, the sovereignty of the Great Britain is being taken over by international bodies, by an international bureaucracy, which has always been the plan of the international elite, simply do an end run around a sovereignty and around legitimate government. It's happening here. As our sovereignty is being transferred to the international bureaucracy and the trade organizations, and soon, of course, changing our laws here to go along with international law. And then, of course, the dream that once was America will soon become a nightmare, because that is the road to tyranny. Total government control and tyranny are synonymous as liberty, and limited government are synonymous. Well, Sir Richard, you know, you were beginning to tell us a little bit about this book that you're actually published, and perhaps you'd like to get out your website or get the name of the book, so if any of our listeners were interested in knowing more about it.
Well, yes, we're publishing several books. I mentioned the one, This Happy Country, which I think we're going to have an American publisher coming in with us. But there's another book which I've written, and it'll be coming out just after Christmas, I think, called The Toxin of Power, with the subtitle The Slow Death of Democracy. And I'm arguing that power is intoxicating, and it operates at all sorts of levels, not only the politician, but we have the, you can have the cops, you can have people, petty officials. We have traffic wardens in our country. I think you've got something similar to that. People who are given a bit of authority, and they enjoy it. They enjoy the power they have. And it satisfies people who are usually rather inadequate in the rest of their lives. But with politicians, it's particularly dangerous, because they have a great deal more power. And especially those who are at the very top, they have immense power, and it is intoxicating, and that's why I've called the book The Toxin of Power. And as the years go by, they are using this power to take over more power from the people, transferring it to themselves.
And of course, today
we see this in the United States in a very big way. We see it over here in England. We see over here local government, no longer local government. It is local administration having to do what the government in London wants, partly because of new laws, partly because the government in London says, all right, we will produce the money for you. You don't have to have a local revenue. We will produce the money. But once, of course, they're producing the money, they start deciding how it should be spent. And so our local councils are becoming very powerless, and this is accelerating because good people, businessmen, professional people, competent people, no longer want to sit on the councils because it's not worth sitting on a council and being elected. So more power then is going to the officials. And they, of course, work hand in glove with officials in London. Well, now, you've got something not as bad as that, but it is still pretty bad, I think. And in your case, the states now have not the same powers that they used to have. When the United States was founded, the real unit of government was meant to be the individual states. But gradually the federal government has taken away their power. They're still powerful, but nothing like as powerful as they used to be when the United States was founded, and when I believe the United States was a very vibrant democracy.
Well, I think that was, of course, the secret of America. Matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be handled at the state level. The powers of the federal government were to be limited and defined. That's what it says in the 45th of the Federalist Papers, which are never taught in our schools today, or colleges, or certainly never taught in law school. And I don't think any of our Supreme Court justices have ever read the 45th of the Federalist Papers, but it basically says the power of the central government is to be limited and defined. It was to do very little, have nothing to do with the individual. Matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be handled at the state level, and then the people could have some influence on what the state did, and limit the power of the state as well, because every state was to be a republic, not a democracy, but a republic with a nation of law rather than a nation of men. And you can always talk the people into voting for anything. All you need to do is be able to control enough television ads. You can get them to, here in California, to vote for energy, electricity deregulation, which was actually designed to increase the price of electricity, and they bamboozled the people to vote for something that was going to raise electricity prices, and they had never had any idea what it was all about. But you're absolutely right. Whenever you centralize power, power corrupts, and as Lord Acton, one of your predecessors said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Power tends to corrupt.
Right.
But absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. What was it?
History tells us over and over again that is very true.
Well, I think it's well, so funny.
It's not just, you see, we think a vote is important. Well, of course it's important, but a vote only once in 4 years is not enough. Now, there was an Englishman who went over to Africa not long ago, and he met an African chief, and he upbraided this African chief because there was no voting system in his tribe. And the African chief said to him, well, you in England have a vote, but you don't have any say. But in my tribe, everyone has a say, even if they don't have a vote. And what he meant was that if a big decision had to be made in his tribe, he gathered the whole tribe around, and they all had a say, and they went on for 2 or 3 days, perhaps. But everyone had their point of view expressed. And at the end, the chief would decide a consensus. And there didn't have to be any vote. Now, in a way, that was more democratic than what we have in both England and America now. And well, it's a very staggering fact that, in one sense, they have a more beneficial form of government, primitive though it is, than we have in our more sophisticated age.
But, of course, the problem we have today is that when people depend upon the media to tell them what to think, and that so often is what it is. I mean, here in the United States, we have our commentators, and they tell us how we're supposed to think, and so many people will go along with it because they never hear the other side. This consensus may work fairly well in a small African tribe, or even in a large African tribe, but in a country of almost 300 million people, it's quite impractical. That's why our form of government that limited the power of the central government and limited the power of the state governments over the lives of the people was by far the best. But, of course, that's simply a remembrance of things past. Most people don't understand that we have people in Washington, D.C. today who hate the Constitution or are violating it regularly and are being aided and abetted by the members of the Supreme Court.
That's right. It's top-down, but it should be bottom-up, as we say in England. It should come up from the bottom in a true democracy. It is what the people want, but the people have really no opportunity of expressing their views.
Well,
their views are articulated, supposedly, by these chattering classes who write in the Washington Post and journals like that.
Well,
the New York Times.
My understanding is that you've actually, over there in Great Britain, you've actually had at least some organized resistance. You've had small groups of people passing out flyers and talking to people on street corners, and they've actually defeated some of the votes there, you know, to regionalize Great Britain. What about that?
Well, yes. This is required because we're in the European Union. The government decided to divide the United Kingdom, England, up into 9 regions, and said that there would have to be a referendum. So we got that. We got a referendum, and they decided to have a referendum first of all in the northeast because they thought that would be the easiest one to win. But I'm glad to say the government was trounced, and the electorate in the northeast of England, that's in Northumberland and Durham, they rejected regional assemblies. And one of the reasons they said was that this would mean even more bureaucracy. This would be second-rate politicians in a regional assembly destroying our counties because for many, many centuries our local government had been based on counties.
Right.
Like Yorkshire, Durham, and Lincolnshire and so forth. Well, that they were to be eliminated and replaced by regions. Now, they would be far too large for really genuine local government. And I'm glad to say that in the Northeast that was rejected, and the government have decided not to go ahead with regional assemblies elsewhere.
Well, I'm so glad it is. In fact, we saw, you know, certainly in both France and I think it was in Holland, or the people voted overwhelmingly against the European Union. Now, the elite really don't care what the people think. They have an agenda. They'll go along with it as long as the people support it. When the people don't, then they'll find a means of doing an end run because
yes,
it's all about power.
You're right. It's worse than that because there are 10 items in the Constitution, the draft Constitution of the European Union, which was rejected by the French people and the Dutch people, and these items are still proceeding in Brussels. They're just going ahead with them, despite their rejection by France and the Netherlands. And the reason they're giving is that other countries want them, and that the French were not really voting about the Constitution. They were voting against Chirac. And the Dutch were voting not against the Constitution, but against more immigration. But in fact, in France, every elector was given a copy of the draft Constitution, a very long document. And I think most of them read that Constitution and decided they didn't like it. And they voted, as you say, decisively against it.
I'm sure here in America,
notwithstanding that the elite in Brussels are still going ahead, pressing ahead with the terms of the Constitution.
And I think here in America, I mean, 90% of the people want to enforce the immigration laws. The elite just don't intend to do that because they have a different agenda. I think the majority of people today are against the war in Iraq. That doesn't matter. They're going to expand the war. Because the elite has a different agenda, and as long as they can keep idle minds busy, the people are not going to understand what's going on. We've got Richard calling from Allentown. Richard, did you have a question for Sir Boddy?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, Rod. And I'd like to ask, I've been wanting to ask forever a media question about across the pond in Britain there, and that is, do you, of course you don't have anything comparable to our American talk radio, I understand, but I understand you have certain conservative newspapers, and I've been wanting to ask, is there anything or any columnists contributing there or any other periodicals that are expressly anti-globalist or expressly anti-EU, or is it pretty much like our American establishment conservative rags like the Human Events?
Fine, let's go ahead. Do you have any...
I heard the question right. Is he from Allentown?
He's from Allentown, right.
Oh, well, is that... we hear about Allentown on 42nd Street, don't we?
Right. Well, what about...
Now, if I heard the question right, we have, of course, the BBC, which is a state... radio station and television, and I'm afraid they tend to go along with the government point of view. That we are monitoring them, and we have shown that they are being very prejudiced and not objective, and I think they are being forced to change their ways a bit. Now, we have some independent radio stations, and on the whole, they're pretty good, but they're still rather trivial. We don't get many fundamental questions discussed on them.
Well, it's sort of like what we have over here. I mean, you have all of these people, supposedly conservatives and liberals, arguing back and forth, but they never talk about the real issues. That's the problem. It's all like, well, it's all showbiz. It's rhetoric over reality, symbolism over substance. But when you get right down to the bare essentials, the American people have no idea what's really happening. So it's really a matter of education, and certainly you as a publisher will have an outreach, and I as a talk show host, and of course we can get the people over there in Great Britain listening to our programs. They don't even have to hear them live. They're available on the Internet. They're archived for many, many weeks and our shortwave. And if we can just get people listening, hopefully they'll begin to see what's happening. And this is the end of a historic trend that's been going on for well over 100 years. And it really all began over there in your country with Cecil Rhodes and his dream of a world government. And, of course, that's what the Rhodes Scholarships were about. And they're doing a great job to indoctrinate our youth. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a world government and no more wars?
Well, of course, that's nonsense, because we could have civil wars. And civil wars, as the United States knows only too well, are much more evil than ordinary wars.
Absolutely.
But they don't recognize these elites that there is what some people call the global paradox, that the more the world integrates economically, the more it is disintegrating politically, in the sense that people are now all around the world far more concerned about preserving their own cultures and self-determination. And we're seeing this in Europe. Czechoslovakia is now divided into two different states. We've seen it in Yugoslavia, how it is dissolved. We've seen it in the Soviet Union. And we're seeing it here in Great Britain. Scotland has now become virtually independent. It has its own separate parliament and own government. Wales, not quite independent, but very nearly so.
Well, we're just about out of time, Sir Bridget. Do you have a website you'd like to put out?
We're just about changing our website, so I can't do that at the moment. Well, I can only give us our address.
Go ahead.
Which is New European Publications, 14 Caroun Road, at Caroun Road, London, SW8.
Thank you so much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what is really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed Sir Richard Bode, who is certainly an English patriot who sees what's happening to his country, but the plan is to, of course, destroy sovereignty in all nations and to unite us into a one-world government under a ruling elite. And, of course, that is the plan of these people of great wealth who are behind this, but behind that, of course, is a spiritual plan, because there's a spiritual component to everything going on in the world today. And until you begin to understand we're fighting a spiritual battle on a political, ideological, and cultural, and financial, and economic battlefield, none of what's going on makes sense. As we see preparations being made for World War III, building up the economy of Communist China and Communist Russia in preparation for World War III, just as we built up the economy of Adolf Hitler in Japan prior to the Second World War. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know what lies ahead. So, first of all, you have to understand how this fits together. We hope many of you will certainly want to get the material which is available from Radio Liberty. If you don't understand the occult hierarchy that rules the world, why, we'll be glad to send you a copy of my newsletter, The Occult Hierarchy Part 2, and we suggest that you get the books that are referred to, because we carry some of these books, hard to get, but we do carry them, written by people who are part of this world occult movement, and they will tell you about the richest man in America, who actually recruited the writer of one of the books called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. The richest man in America recruited him into this occult lifestyle. And we carry the book, but you want to get my newsletter. It's available on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. It's the June 2005 newsletter. We'll send you a free copy if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have four tapes set, The Secret Government, Secret Societies, or you can get the Secret Government Special, which has four additional videotapes with Bill Sneblin talking about his life in the Masonic and in the Satanic movement. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people out there who worship Lucifer and Satan because he gives total freedom. There are no rules. There are no thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. You can do whatever you want to. Aleister Crowley was a Satanist, and his rule was, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. You need to get our four tapes set on Aleister Crowley. You need to get our four tapes set on the secret government or secret societies, or our four tapes set on Satanism. You need to get the book, Blood on the Altar, which is the story of Aleister Crowley, or The Beautiful Side of Evil, which we carry, Johanna Michelson's wonderful story of her life as a sorcerer's apprentice, as an apprentice to a psychic healer who could create wonderful miracles. The only trouble was the people who were cured of their incurable diseases were demonically possessed afterwards. This is not imaginary, it's real. And you can't understand anything going on today unless you grasp the fact that there truly is another dimension. Well, we want to mention that in these difficult times, and we're going to have to look after ourselves. Of course, we have to realize the spiritual implications. We have to be prepared to look after others as well. But you really need to have a big Berkey water filter for yourself and for your family, because you can't get by without water. And I'll tell you, the people in New Orleans wish they'd had the big Berkeys or the Berkey Light. You can get them through us. If you do, you certainly you'll get a free four-tape set or video that we produced as a reward. We are putting on an all-day conference on the 19th of November right here in the Monterey Bay area. And if you're going to come, we have to have reservations, but it'll be an exciting time. We've put together a new DVD and or video. It's called Planned Population Reduction. I just finished watching it last night. It's really pretty well done. Planned Population Reduction. And then if you haven't seen the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get it. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.